Okay, so Parshas Nitzavim. Nitzavim is the second shortest Parsha in the Torah, behind only next week, which is Vayelech. But certainly very heavy hitting, a lot of key, powerful lines, and certainly as we're holding here right before Rosh Hashanah, so lots to talk about with that as well. So let's just quick recap. Basically, if you remember last week, we finished off with a Tochacha, more or less. So Nitzavim kind of continues with that. Kosh Baruch Hu tells them there's a bris for everybody here. There's a, you know, I'm making this with all of you and everybody who's coming after you, which means us, right? Us Jews. That's the bris I made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? Don't worship other idols. The Avodah Zarah. Kosh Baruch Hu is going to be really angry, right? And if that continues and people in Eretz Yisrael don't do so well, so Hashem again will kick us out, destroy the land, right? Physically destroy the land with just like Sodom and Amorah, to the point where the Goyim come and say, "Man, what happened here?" And we'll talk about it in a second, but the simple pshat, it seems to imply that everybody will realize it's because Bnei Yisrael didn't follow the Torah and they got exiled. Afterwards, the Kosh Baruch Hu kind of says, you should, you know, there's a whole paragraph where Paraglama talks about tshuva at the beginning, that Hashem has kind of kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael, we should do tshuva. There's a famous line, Lo B'Shamayim Hi, that this, and we have to talk about what this is, but this is not in the sky. You can access it. It is accessible to you. It's possible. Don't distress. And then finally, the end of the parsha is Bacharta Bachayim. Moshe says, right, I'm giving you a choice. There's life and death. There's good and bad, good and evil, and choose good. Right? Choose good over evil. And that's the point of life. But okay, either way, let's get to the Divrei Torah here. I mentioned we always read Nitzavim. I don't know if I mentioned we always read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says at the end of Megillah that Ezra said that that's what we should do. The Gemara there says because we should, the phrase is "Vatichla Hashana v'kil losea," that we should end the curses and the year, end the year with its curses, and then we should start a year fresh new year. So, and again, Tosfos points out over there that, you know, if for whatever reason Nitzavim Vayelech had to be read together, you would split it and you would make sure to do Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, because these few curses that we find in Nitzavim, right, have to, you know, we want to get rid of them before Rosh Hashanah. So there definitely are some curses at the beginning of the Parsha. Again, I kind of read off a little bit of the disaster that would await Am Yisrael for not following the Torah, and there is a concept of Yisurim, of not Yisurim with an Aleph, but Yisurim with a Yud, which is difficulties and pain and suffering, etc. That unfortunately, right, again, when you're holding by the end of the year, you look back and you kind of remember the big moments, and some of the big moments are great, and some of the big moments are unfortunately less than great. And definitely there is, you know, there are those people who we can think of who had a really tough time at certain points of the year. But, as Rav Melech points out, Rav Melech Biderman points out, there is an encouragement that we can take from Yisurim as well. And Rashi already quotes that the first pasuk, right, it says, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, you are all standing here, right, is supposed to be kind of like an encouragement, kind of like Kosh Baruch was saying, listen, you know, I just listed off all these crazy curses in last week's Parsha, but you're all still here. Right, everybody is still here. Don't worry. And just like, you know, Bnei Yisrael in the future, unfortunately, will suffer tremendously, but Bnei Yisrael will always be standing. They will always be standing here. Right, so that's already Rashi's quoting the Medrash beginning of the Parsha. So first, that's A. B, and in a fascinating Rashi, he writes, right, if you look at the, I don't know if you have the text in front of you, but in Pasuk Yud Beis, right, he writes, "Vakolos v'yisurim mekaymen eschem u'matsiven eschem lefanav." That the curses and the Yisurim, or the suffering and the curses, keep us going and stand us up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the difficulties somehow prop us up. And how does that work? So the Chafetz Chaim writes in Shem Olam, he quotes the Gra. Now, I don't know if this is, you know, I trust the two of them. I haven't seen this anywhere else. But he quotes the Gra that says that without Yisurim, we would not be able to stand in judgment. Because when we get up to Shemayim after 120, right, we're all going to be there ready for judgment. And they'll throw down all the mitzvos and averos on the scale. And unfortunately, very likely, it'll be tilting in the wrong direction. Until a baskol will come out. and say that, oh, where are all the yisurim? Where are all the sufferings, the difficulties that this person had in this world? And there, those that will immediately drop down on the mitzvah side, and you know those will atone for the averos that we had, and then obviously the scale will tilt in the right way, and we'll be whisked off happily ever after. So in our mindset, again, that's the Chafetz Chaim says, if for Chas V'Shalom, you see a person who's not doing so well, so the Jewish approach to difficulty and suffering is that it offsets, right? It offsets in the future, right? All the difficulties that we have now, right, will hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, offset, you know, any future poor and negative judgment that we may have. Now, to get to that point, to get to that level, to really have a true, you know, emunah bitachon and view yisurim and difficulties on that level, right, that Kol Shemayim, it's a very high level. It's very, very difficult. It's certainly when a person is going through it. Right? So how do we even begin to start to get to that level? So Melech quotes the Chafetz Chaim again, and obviously, as you might imagine, right, when a person works on his or her Akar Satov, as they work on their Emunah and the Bitachon and the belief that Gamzu L'Tova, then a person can get there. Right? You can get there. Right? We see people who are having, you know, trials and difficulties, and yet they have this unbelievable midah to be able to thank Hashem for the kindnesses when hidden in the difficulties. Right? For example, just in my own life this year, Eitan ended up he's having issues with seizures, and Baruch Hashem, Kosh Baruch did us a tremendous chesed. I say all the time that it started up in the summer, because if it had started up in the winter, when in the world would I have been able to take care of all this stuff? In the summer, I'm pretty off. We have work to do, whatever, but to prepare for the next year. But in the summer, I have a lot more time to take it to this doctor, take it to this appointment, and deal with it. It's a tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And he's getting there, Baruch Hashem, and he'll be okay. But, you know, very often when you see someone going through a very difficult time, those people are able to handle it, and they're not handling it. Maybe they can. I don't know. But they're able to find this silver lining. But anyway, if you go, Rachman Letzlan Lo Aleinu, to a shiva house, right, often the talk of how the person passed away is always a mention of some sort of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for that person. Even if that person was sick for a very long time, you could always, the people who are availim are often talking about the chesed and the way things happened at the end. So people are able to see it. People are able to get there. Right? But meaning, obviously that's very high level and that's very difficult. So how do we ourselves get there? But when we're maybe before we're faced with some sort of difficulty, right? We should never see it. We should never have any yisurim whatsoever. But before we get there, how do we get to the level where, if Rachman Salana does happen, right, we're able to have the proper perspective? So Rav Melech quotes the Tiferes Shlomo, the Damsker Rebbe, who he's fond of quoting. He said, and the pasuk says in our parsha that basically the land is going to be destroyed. Right, and Bnei Yisrael are going to be exiled, and the goyim are going to say, "Wait, what's going on over here? Right, what in the world happened here?" I'm just trying to find the pasuk. V'amru kol agoyim. It's pasuk chav gemo. Al me'asa Hashem kakal aretz hazos. What did God? Why did God do this? Mecharia afa gadol. Is that this terrible anger? What in the world is going on over here? So the next pasuk seems to imply that Bnei Yisrael will respond to them. V'yamru, and they'll say, who's they? They will say, Pashup Shat seems to be Bnei Yisrael, Allah Sherazru, B'ris Hashem, Elokei Avosam. Right, either they'll say, or the Goyim will say, right, it must be that because the Jews left the Torah, right, and they violated this bris. And it goes off a couple of psukim, and later, and the last pasuk in that kind of hot area, in that whole parsha, right, before we get to a break, before Perek Lamed, is V'hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, right, pretty well known pasuk that the hidden things are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, faniglos lanu vanenu ad olam lasos de reter azos, and the things that are revealed are for us. Right? So how do you understand that pasuk? How do you understand what's going on? So the Damsker Rebbe explains that the goyim are going to say, right, that all the yisurim are all the difficulties is because we left the Torah, but the Damsker Rebbe says no. The Jews are going to respond, that's not true. Because Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, the hidden things, the things we don't understand, that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Bnei Yisrael have the proper emunah. We understand that everything is, even though it's Betoras Nistar, even though it's hidden from us, it's Gamzul Tova. Even though everything is all evil and difficult and terrible, and really we understand that there's a purpose to it, right? And in the future, everything will be revealed and we'll know it's for the best. Rav Melech quotes the Zohar that Ein Lanu Lach Kor Achar Nistaros, that we're not supposed to look for reasons in the hidden. Who can get to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can't really understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. That's our belief system, right? Our belief system in Gamzul Tova, that to get us to the highest level, whether it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us, right, with millions of dollars, or makes things a bit harder, everything, right, is so that we can become the ultimate version of ourselves. So the way we get to that level is to work on ourselves when things are good, right? And we talked about this throughout Sefer Dvarim, right? It's a theme that runs through Sefer Dvarim, to work on ourselves when things are good, right? When we have the bracha and the atzlacha, and yes, we're stressed a little, but like life is good and we're happy and we have parnasa and there are no illnesses, lo aleinu. That's how we get there. We don't get there. I mean, it could be that a person is thrown into despair and then they're left to work it out and whatever, and they'll get to that point. That's also very possible. But the best way for us to get to that level is to do it when we're not dealing with it. And when we're outside, when we talk about Mesillas Yesharim, right? When you're outside of a situation, when you can look at it from a third party, right? That you can look on your Emunah Bitachon and the Gamzul Tova, because you're in a good place. Right, and you have the mindset and you have the wherewithal to do it. And that's what Kosh Baruch was looking for. Right, he's waiting to see, right, how do you respond to the brachos that I'm giving you? Are you able to clear your head and really come to greater sense of emunah and bitachon, or are you kind of, you know, throwing that money or time away at silly stuff? Right, so that's the goal. That's what we should really try to be focusing on. Rav Melech points out it's also evident in the tefillos in Rosh Hashanah. Right? When we say, what do we say? We say, tshuva tefillah tzedakah, mavir nisroa hagzera. Right? We say a famous line after Nisana Tokev. Right? Tshuva and tefillah and giving tzedakah, that gets rid of the evil decree. Now, it doesn't, if you notice the language, it doesn't say at mavir nisagzera. It doesn't say get rid of the gzera. It says get rid of the roa hagzera. Right? Get rid of the badness of the decree. Right, the evilness, roa, it doesn't say hara hagzera, it doesn't say, we're not trying to get rid of the gzera, we're trying to get rid of the evilness of the gzera. Meaning, if the gzera did, and of course, we're davening to Hashem, listen, if I have to end up at the end of the year, right, let's say we do a whole din cheshbon, and at the end of the year, Kosh Baruch Hu decides, you know, whatever, you're going to have $10,000 less in your bank account than when you started the year. Okay, so the tefillah is, the davening is that, let's get rid of the roa. Let's get rid of the bad. So, because you can lose 10 grand by spending it on mitzvos, on a simcha, giving extra tzedakah, or chas shalom lo aleinu, it could be a car accident, you have to fix your car, someone can steal your credit card, it could be some other disaster. So the evilness of the decree is from our point of view. Meaning, of course, Baruch Hu is Gamzul Tova. He's going to give us whatever we need to try and grow higher and higher. For whatever reason, he decides, again, in a silly example, that we need to have $10,000 less to help us get higher and higher, fine. But we, from our point of view, right, again, if you have the proper point of view, then nothing is evil. And that's what we're davening for. We're davening for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Sadi Yishmaya, to have Gamzul Tova, but also that the decrees that come out, right, should be in better ways, right? And not without Yisurim, but in ways that we can do mitzvos with there could be a positive spin on it from our point of view, as opposed to a negative. Okay, let's move on a little bit further. I kind of went a little bit over what I wanted to ad-libbed over there at the end, but let's stick to the parsha. Yeah, attending to him, my uncle Chem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. You are standing here. The first pasuk says you are all standing here today, all of you. Right, Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we've pointed out that the Bali Musar, right, use these parshios to connect to the time of year. Right? And even though the Pashup Shat, right, Moshe was talking to Bnei Israel in the desert, telling them, don't worry, the curses are intense, but you'll be okay. Right? Still, obviously, we try and use that this is a message, let's say, for Erev Rosh Hashanah. Right? Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You are all standing here in front of Hashem. Right? That implies, right, that evokes an image, right, of Rosh Hashanah, right? We're all standing in front of Hashem for judgment. Right? The Melech Chutz Zohar, it basically says as much. That Avrucha Rebris Hashem Alokacha, right? The whole point of this is to of Rosh Hashanah is to pass, right, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this bris, with this covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully will take care of us as descendants of the Avos, etc., a chosen nation. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that you know, Amru lefane Malchios kishkedei shetamlichuni alechem, right? That you should say Malchios. One of the tefillos we say on Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, right? To crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order that we should crown him, right? And it says the Mor of Hashemesh that that's why we say Nitzavim instead of Omdim. Right? Nitzavim is more like almost standing erect, right? Almost like regal, right? If you can imagine, like the guards, we just I don't know if you watched the Leviah of the queen, but all these people standing at attention, the guards who don't move at Buckingham Palace, right? That's Nitzavim. Right, Omdim is like you're standing, but Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem. We are all standing at attention, hands at our sides, right in front of Kosh Baruch Hu, in front of royalty. That's the image that kind of conjures up, and that's the point of Rosh Hashanah, right? To live our lives as Nitzavim, right, as if we're always standing in front of the king. Right, you may have noticed that there's no vidui on Rosh Hashanah. If you haven't noticed, you might notice now. But there's no, we don't confess our sins on Rosh Hashanah, right? Because first, you have to have someone to confess your sins to, right? You have to accept that Kosh Baruch Hu has to be your king, right? Before you confess your sins. As says Rav Victor Miller, right? The first and main part of tshuva, right, is viewing Kosh Baruch Hu as the Melech Malchei Melachim, right? If a person is unable to view the world from the point of view of Hashem Melech, then what's the point? Right, again, it says, Rishon Zalander says that it's very easy to say that Hashem is king over the world, nature, right, the birds, the earth. It's much harder to say that Hashem is king over me. And that's the main part. If a person can get to that point, so then everything else is details. That's what Victor Miller says. Right? Again, the Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with sins. Right? It has to do with the fact that we forget, or we make ourselves forget, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king, right? That Hashem Melech. Right? If you would have that, if we would have that single understanding throughout our entire lives would be completely different. Right? Of Hashem Melech. So we finish the great tshuva with Amunah and the Borei and Kosh Baruch Hu that it'll take care of us, right? With Yom Kippur, etc. But if we don't get to the point where Hashem Melech, right? So there's no point, because then, you know, what are we even doing this for? And as you might imagine, right, as the shofar is just part of that, right? Just like a trumpet announces a king, so too the shofar announces Kosh Baruch Hu's reign, right? We say, Rav Sadia Gaon writes that we say Hayom Haras Olam, right, after the blow the shofar, that today is the birthday of the world. Okay, according to Chazal, maybe 5 days ago. Today was the day Rosh Hashanah is the day that Adam Arishon was born. Okay, but Kosh Baruch Hu is literally recreating the world anew every single year, and that's the trumpets. Where the shofar blows the trumpets, announcing that Hashem Melech, that Kiviyachol, right? Kosh Baruch Hu, we're accepting Hashem as king once again, and the goal is to continue that throughout the year. Right, Rav Pinkus writes that when the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, right, we say Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagein. So Rav Pinkus writes that should remind us of the Yom Noraim. And we should think about the Yom Noraim throughout the entire year. Melech is Rosh Hashanah. Ozer, Hashem helps us during the service of Tshuva, right? Moshiach, right, because he's close to us, he helps us do Tshuva. Moshiach, he saves us on Yom Kippur. And Magen, he protects us, right, on Sukkos. Right? If you can think about that, every single time you daven, you can think of the Yom Noraim, you can think of the whole goal of Hashem Melech, right, so then you'll have a leg up, and you'll be able to keep this mindset, right? Not just during, you know, the Yom Noraim and Tishrei, but throughout the entire year as well. Excuse me. Another way to do this, to keep this Hashem Melech kind of focus going, is not to focus on the Hashem, but to focus on who Hashem is Melech over. And that's where Melech says that the pasuk says Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, that all of you, right? It doesn't say Atem Nitzavim Hayom, that you guys are standing here today. You are standing here today, all of you. Right? So that kind of evokes the messages of the power of the Klal, of Klal Yisrael. I mean, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is making the promise to Am Yisrael, that Am Yisrael, even though there'll be terrible tragedies, Holocaust, horrible Inquisition, Crusades, Bnei Yisrael will survive. There will be a kulchem, all of you, right, standing here today, eventually, right, at any point. As is a promise to Am Yisrael that we'll be here. So that says Rav Melech, we have to tap into the power of Am Yisrael. Right, Tiferes Shlomo says, right, like the pasuk says, Bechatzrozos v'kol shofar, right, Hariu lefnei Hamelech Hashem. Right, Hariu is in the plural. Right, we all together should blow the shofar, right, and crown lefnei Hamelech Hashem. We should crown Hashem king. Right, Pasuk says again, famously, Mi'a Isha Chavetz Chaim. Right, who wants to live? So again, the Tiferes Shlomo says, who wants to live on Rosh Hashanah? So Netzor Lashon Chamera. So what do? You keep your mouth shut from speaking bad about other Jews. Sur Merav Ase Tov, right? Do tshuva, right? And Bakesh Shalom V'Radfehu. Run after peace, right? Run after peace with your fellow Jews. And what he says is, work on your Bein Adam L'Chavero. And that's something I just wanted to mention, because I feel very often that in Rosh Hashanah time, the Bein Adam L'Chavero gets neglected. Now, yes, I know we have to wish everybody, beg everybody for tshuva, get mechila, right? We send texts in the WhatsApp groups, please forgive me for everything I've ever done. We put it on our statuses. Bein Adam L'Chavero gets the shaft in Rosh Hashanah, because we're rightfully so, but certainly we are concerned with our Bein Adam L'Makom. But our Bein Adam L'Chavero is perhaps even more crucial. It's a fascinating comment to the Meshech Chachma. Fascinating. And he says, we know that, we know that Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei, right, which is after the summer, right? It says Meshech Chachma, I don't understand. I would have made Rosh Hashanah in Nisan. Why? Because if back in the day, if you look at the cycle of working your field, right, everybody had fields, that's where they got their produce and their parnasa, their livelihood from, right? They got their bread, right, from the fields. So in the winter, right, people are home, more or less, right? The ground is cold. There's not so much you can do in the field. The ground is frozen or cold or whatever. It's raining, right? So people are home more. They're learning more, right? They're probably with their family more. So they're working on themselves more. There's more mitzvahs going on. There's not so much, you know, pritzos. The weather is colder. The tznius is better. I would have said the Meshech Chachma, put Rosh Hashanah in Nisan. Right? Everybody spent the entire winter inside, learning, doing mitzvos. Everybody will be good. So it says, no, but he says, that's not what happens. Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei, right? After the summer, after people are out and working their field, and out with the people who are dressed, or not dressed, probably, more accurately. So why is it then? So he says, because the Gemara says in Bava Basra, a fascinating Gemara in Bava Basra, but Gemara, beginning of Bava Basra, tells a story about Binyamin HaTzadik, not the Shevet, but this guy named Binyamin HaTzadik. He was a Gabbai Tzedakah. He was in charge of giving out tzedakah. Once a woman came to him and said, there was a famine going on, and she said, I need tzedakah, give me some tzedakah, give me some, support my family. So he sat there, he's like, listen, it's a famine, people have no money, I got nothing. There's nothing in the kupa tzedakah, there's nothing in the Tomchei Shabbos, there's no money. She said, Rabbi, please, I have 7 children, we're going to die. So what happened, Gemara says, he got up and he gave her tzedakah from his own money. Apparently he was a man of wealthy means. That very often happens, right? The people who are well off, right? They take care of tzedakah. Great. Sometime after that, Binyamin HaTzadik got deathly ill. And the angel said to Kosh Baruch Hu, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that whoever saves one life saves an entire world. And this guy saved 8 lives, right? The woman and all her kids. So immediately the Gemara says they tore up his Gzar Din, right? And he lived another 22 years. Says the Meshech Chachma, I understand. This guy was called Binyamin HaTzadik. He was probably a decent guy. Yet what stood up for him at the point when he was being judged and he was sick and he was probably going to die? What stood up for him? The time when he did Chesed. Right? His Bein Adam L'Chavero. Nothing else. Only his Bein Adam L'Chavero. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's why Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei. Because even though the winter is filled with more learning and maybe more frumkeit, it's in the summer after the stalks of wheat had grown and people have, you know, food and money and your field is full. And only then people can do chesed with other people. You can give them the mitzvahs of the field, like at Shechon Peah, you give that stuff to the poor, you can give more meiser, you can give more tzedakah. And says Rav Melech, it's not only money. Right, because he says, the Gemara says at the end of Sota, right, that chesed is greater than tzedakah in 3 ways. Right, first of all, it can be done with your body in addition to your money. It can be done with both rich and poor people. And it can be done with people who are alive and people who are dead. There's something called a chesed shel emes. So Bein Adam L'Chavero gets lost in the shuffle in Yom Noraim. And it's really, if you go based on that Gemara Bava Basra, it's the Bein Adam L'Chavero that carries the day. So we have to put a little bit more effort into Bein Adam L'Chavero. We have to make sure, right, that we tap into the power of the klal of Am Yisrael, right, through doing chesed for other people, right? That connects us to Am Yisrael and gives us more schusim and the schusim that matter, apparently based on that Gemara that we quoted. Okay. there's a little bit of Weitzer now. There are a lot of lines that you can really kind of harp on. One of them, I think the most dramatic one in the Parsha, is a three-line or four-pasuk series that I'll just read quickly, and we'll talk about it for a few minutes. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, and that's what we're going to have to define, that's an important line. But this mitzvah, says the Torah, very ambiguously. It says, Asher nochi mitzavcha yom, that I'm commanding you today. Again, Moshe is talking to Am Yisrael. This mitzvah, which I'm commanding you today, lo niflesi mimcha, it's not hidden. V'lo rechokahi, it's not far from you. Lo bashamayim hi, it's not in the sky. L'mor mi alela hashamayim v'yikachel lo v'yashmen osav nasen. To say that to the point where you would have to send somebody up to the skies to get it and to teach it to us. Lo me'iver layam hi, it's not across the ocean. To say that to the point where you would have to send somebody across the ocean and get it and bring it back. Rather, ki karov elecha devar ma'od b'ficho v'lvavcha lav soso. The matter is very, very close to you. Ma'od, it's very close to you. B'ficha, it's in your mouth. B'lvavcha, it's in your heart. La soso, in order to do it. Right, again, Eitan Katz has an amazing song, ki karov elecha. So, first thing we have to say is, what's going on here? What are we talking about? What is this mitzvah that is not far from us, not in the sky, not across the sea, but very, very close for us to do? So, several opinions in the Rishonim. Rashi says it's Limud HaTorah. Learning Torah. Learning Torah is not in the sky. Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, it seems vast, it seems difficult, it's not. It's attainable, it's not impossible. The Ibn Ezra writes that we're talking about the mitzvot in general. Right? Yes, ki mitzvahs means the mitzvot in general. Mitzvot sometimes seem impossible. Right? It's almost, sometimes we look at tshuva and we think, how could I ever avoid all the averos? How could I ever do all the mitzvot? So Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, it's not out of the question, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You might not get there tomorrow, right? But it's close to you, you can do it, you can handle it. But the Rabban says, you can just look for the last thing we mentioned in the pasuk. But the last thing we got done, finished talking about, the first 10 psukim in Perek Lamed, is talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. It says several times, V'atata shuva, shamata v'kol Hashem. Right? Do tshuva. The last pasuk we said, listen, before we started this whole thing, listen to the voice of Hashem, do His mitzvos, ki sashuva l'Hashem alokecha, b'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, do tshuva. Says the Ramban, Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, this is not so hard. Tshuva is not that hard. Right? It's not in the sky, it's not across the ocean, it's close to you, in your hands, right? It's able to do it. I think it's Rosh Salander says that b'ficha u'vilvavcha lasoso, b'ficha in your mouth, b'vavcha in your heart, lasoso in your hands. Those are the three types of mitzvos that you have. You have mitzvos that you speak, right? You have like brachos, you have mitzvos that are b'vavcha in your heart, like davening, tefillah, avodah shebalev, and lasoso, you have all the mitzvos to do with your hands. Ask Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I understand. So what the pasuk is telling, Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael that tshuva is not hard, right? It's not hard, right? But that, if we're talking about tshuva, that according to the Ramban, according to the Ramban, we're talking about tshuva, and Moshe is saying it's not so hard. It's close to you. You can do it. It's not in the sky. What, tshuva is not hard? Right? If it was so easy, everybody would do it. Right? Everybody would do it. What are you talking about? What do you mean tshuva is not hard? Tshuva is very hard. So Rav Chaim explains that, yeah, technically, tshuva is not hard. In truth, it's not actually hard. But, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, amazingly insight, human nature is such is that people get used to their situation, right? As lousy as it is. Right, just to illustrate, a person, let's say, I don't know, take a crazy example. Person gets thrown into jail in China. Whatever. Shell shock, right? Sleeping on mud, cockroaches everywhere, you're in solitary confinement, absolute Gehenna, right? First day Gehenna, second day Gehenna. Third day, you can already stand it a little bit, right? By the fourth day, right, maybe a little more. By the fifth day, you don't have anybody to talk to, but you start kind of like making friends with the roaches, if you can use your imagination a little bit, right? At least you have company, at least you have something living, moving around. Right, they're not dangerous, okay. A month in, an exterminator comes and kills all the cockroaches. That dude is going to be frantic. He's going to be heartbroken, right? That's all the company that that guy had. Right? What was anybody ever see that movie where Tom Hanks is like stranded on an island, right? And he makes friends with like the volleyball. Right? The most heart wrenching moment of that movie is when the volleyball gets swept out to sea. Sorry, spoiler alert. Right? That is insane. What do you mean? Why? Who cares? It's a freaking volleyball. But yeah, it's that's what he got used to. That was his company. He was used to. So a person gets very used to their situation. It's a natural tendency. Right? That's why you can see all these studies online. There's so much homelessness in America. It's hard to pull a person out of homelessness because at some point you get down into survival mode and you just get used to it. And you get used to what you got and you're thinking about where your next meal is coming from. You're not thinking about more than that. You're just thinking of kind of like figuring out where you are in this point in time and kind of getting there, getting to the next stage. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that's what people do with tshuva, with their averos, with their spiritual level. A person just gets used to it and doesn't see a need to pull themselves out of it. That, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, brilliant insight. That's what Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says is why tshuva is so hard. Right? We are used to scrolling through naked Instagram or watching inappropriate Netflix, talking Lashon Hara. We don't even see a need to pull ourselves out of it. We don't even see the need for tshuva. So when you hear speeches by Rabbanim, right, about tshuva, myself included, when I hear speeches about tshuva, I think, I don't really need to get rid of my iPhone. If a person would be shown a true picture of themselves, really, where their true situation is, so maybe you'd feel differently. All right, again, that's Mesillas Yesharim we've been talking about. It's all connected. Right? Pulling yourself, that's Nikias, pulling yourself out of the scenario and viewing it from a third party. Well, if you'd show Rahman al-Islam, a homeless person, how bad they look, right? You've seen these, maybe you've seen them. I've seen a couple of these videos that these people do. Right? They give a homeless person a haircut, and not to rip, I don't know why I'm ripping on homeless people. Obviously, it's a very difficult situation, but give them a haircut. Right, dress them up nice, and then show them a picture of where they were a day ago. So yeah, maybe they'd agree to try and get a job and get off the street. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to harp on this, but that's the idea that people who are in their state, in their spiritual state, right, don't realize that they need to get out of it. Right, they just kind of it's a natural inclination to stay and just survive. So, says Rav Chaim, tshuva is not really all that hard. Right, what's hard is to get yourself to a point where you see that it's necessary. Again, because Rachman Litzlan, if a person realizes they need some sort of procedure, right, let's say for an illness or an injury, chas v'shalom, so a person's fully on board. Right? A person's fully on board, despite the possible and probable pain that comes along with it. So that's the trick. The trick is to be able to pull yourself out and see where you're holding and realize that there's so much more you could become if you just open yourselves up to the possibility of tshuva, which literally means returning to yourself. With returning to yourself. So that's the job that we have to do on our own. It's not easy to do on your own, right? So it's definitely good to do with friends, and do with a good chevra, to go through a process of tshuva and think about, right, how we can pull ourselves out of whatever situations we're in. I just want to give a 2-minute practical tshuva guide. I'm not sure if anybody's ever done a tshuva workshop with you. We're going to do it for like 2 minutes. Tshuva is not just, I feel like a lot of us think that tshuva is in our head. Like, okay, I'll decide to be better. Which is very nice. But there needs to be a practical application and a practical process, a physical process of doing tshuva. The Rambam says that this is a mitzvah. Right, excuse me. He keeps on saying that there's something we have things that we do vidui, right? We speak out our sins, but the Rambam also lists that there's a regret, there's a commitment not to do it again, etc. Right? You can look in the second paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam seems to imply in Halacha Beis of Hilchos Tshuva that the commitment not to do it again, right, seems to be the key, right? That the vidui and the regret seems to be a hechatimsa, what they call it, a way to get to the commitment not to do it again. Now, how do you get to that physically? Right? Okay, you said Rosh Hashanah, I'm not going to do it again. Great. So in 2 weeks from now, you're faced with the same exact situation and all the inspiration is gone. So you're back to square one. So how does that work? So just very quickly, I think if you have a piece of paper handy, or you want to kind of listen to the recording after you get a piece of paper, we'll do this for 2 minutes. Draw a line down the middle of the piece of paper. On the left side, always when you do Cheshbon HaNefesh, right, like we started with Mesilas Yesharim, do Cheshbon HaNefesh, when you start with this process, so it's super important to start with a positive. Yitzhara doesn't want me to spit it out. Because this is so crucial. Baruch Hashem. Take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left, you write the positives. You write positives at the top. You pick three things. Three things that you were exceedingly proud of that you accomplished this year. I'd imagine if you spend 5 minutes, you can come up with 10 or 15 things. Start with three things you were exceedingly proud of. They should be one easy and two difficult. One easy, I washed before Hamotzi this year. Amazing. Great. Two difficult things that you accomplished. Also great. Then go to the right side. And this is stuff you're going to work on. We're not going to write negative. We're going to write not yet positive. Okay? Not yet positive on the top. And we're going to list one thing that you struggled with that theoretically you think should have been easy for you to do. Let's use the same example. Maybe you didn't wash before Hamotzi. So, okay. So you're going to try and you're going to write that. And then you're going to pick two hard things that you weren't so successful with this year, but you think that they're very, very hard for you to overcome. And what you're going to do is you're going to plan out a method of attack on the two hard things. You can start with one of them. Let's say number two. The second one that you pick, and again, you do this on your own. I don't expect you to be doing this as I'm talking. But take the first hard thing that you picked on the right side, on the not yet positive side. So let's say, I don't know, let's take an example of eating treif. I'm trying not to insult people. Or let's say speaking Lashon Hara. So let's do Lashon Hara, because everybody, the Gemara says everybody does Lashon Hara. It's very hard to stop saying Lashon Hara. If you would say, okay, I'm not saying Lashon Hara from now or forever, that would be ridiculous, right? Unfortunately, we're not able to do that. So you have to. What you do is you plan a method of attack. You start by saying, you know what? I'm going to listen to less Lashon Hara. Now, how do I do that? Well, we don't realize, but when we scroll through our phones and we watch thousands of video clips, we're inevitably hearing Lashon Hara, right? I used a friend to use a boy example. All of sports talk radio is Lashon Hara. They're all just yelling at the players. So inevitably, when you scroll through Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, some of your clips are going to be talking badly about someone. So we're going to cut out those 30-second clips. Right? We're going to try and say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to Lashon Hara on TikTok. That's step one. Step two, that's step one. You're going to do that for a week. You're going to focus on that for a week. You're going to think about, you're going to scroll through TikTok, and when you'll be like, oh, that's Lashon Hara, and you're going to scroll off it. Because the less you put it into your brain, the less it affects you. Now it's front and center in your brain. You can do that for a week. After a week, you're going to see how you're doing. And if you struggle with that, you keep on doing it for another week. If you think that you did well, so then you move on to step two. Step two is now you're going to start to see less Lashon Hara. Right? You're going to try and have less Lashon Hara in the longer videos that you watch. Let's say the movies or the YouTube clips or whatever it is. Right? You're going to extend it. You're going to just do a little bit more. Right? Then if you accomplish that, then you're going to move on to maybe phone calls or personal discussions that you have. Or you can move on to the comments in the Instagram pictures or whatever. Right? You're going to just move step by step and decrease the amount of Lashon Hara that you have around you. And eventually, again, we can talk more in detail. I'm just using this as an example. That eventually, you'll get to the point where now you've been thinking about not saying Lashon Hara for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. Now, all of a sudden, it's front and center in your brain. And now you're going to start hearing Lashon Hara and be like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. And all of a sudden, not speaking Lashon Hara becomes easier. Not speaking Lashon Hara becomes something you're sensitive to. And when you hear Lashon Hara, you're going to be like, how could you be saying that? That's Lashon Hara. I don't want to hear what that other person said about me, because now you've been working on it. If you build the baby steps, That's how you do tshuva. It doesn't happen this week, right? Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year. It's not the last, right? We're planning for the future. So if you take this whole process and you can eventually get to the point where you can actually work on those hard things that you were struggling with beforehand. Okay, I hope that wasn't really too fast. We can definitely speak about it at another time. But I wish everybody a Ksivah Chesimah Tova. And I guess the next shiur will be next Thursday for Parshas Vayelech. And be in touch. We'll speak to you guys soon. All the pleasure. My pleasure. All the best. Take care. Be all good. Thank you. Bye. Adios. Take care.